I'd like to welcome all those that are on Facebook to our fellowship. What an amazing thing it is that we can communicate around the world through that internet, wherever it is, wherever that cloud is. But this year, we have decided to study the abundant life. And probably over 40 years ago, I was introduced to the abundant life. And most of you here were too powerful to live an abundant life. And you know, the world, I think, is so bombarded with the cares and concerns of this world that we forget we're not of this world. So we need to be reminded of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. So we're going to look at practical keys on how to live the abundant life, because that is the life that God has called us to. So we're going to look at John 10:10, if you want to turn your Bibles to that. It's already here, so you don't even have to do that. But it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life." They might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's the King James Version. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But there's a thief. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. You know, when I was growing up, I just kind of thought God chose who he was going to bless and who he was going to hurt. I didn't know that there actually was a thief. And that's what happens to people today. They don't know that there is a thief because the thief does such a good job. He deceives people. He turns every act of God, when it's really him that's doing it, turns us from realizing that there's an abundant life and tries to turn us away from what Jesus Christ accomplished. And we see the tremendous life that he has accomplished for us. Do you want to be where the world is, or do you want to be in God's presence? The abundant life is what's available to us today. Abundant is an interesting word. It gets our attention because naturally we think about material things. It means exceedingly, beyond measure, a quantity so abundant that we can never imagine how big it is. You know, in Ephesians 3:20, God says that he wants to bless us exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's abundant, right? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's such a great God, and he's not only God, he's our Father. And Jesus Christ introduced that relationship to us when he came. And I loved hearing Tom's manifestation today, because it puts the practicality of God's love. He says, you don't have to go through a secretary to come to me. You know, I come boldly before my throne of grace. He's always telling us that. In the Old Testament, he told Joshua, be bold and courageous. God wants us to be bold towards him, not to be afraid. The Holy Spirit, he wants us to have courage. The Holy Spirit tells us that it will encourage us. What does the devil do? Discourage us. So think about what is going on in your heart and life and mind. We have to think about what we're thinking about. Are we hearing words of discouragement? Well, if you are, use the name of Jesus. That'll change everything. But that's not God's plan. He wants us to overstep the secretary, because she doesn't exist, and go right to him. And he wants to talk to us. It's not just a limited relationship where we bow down and worship him. It's a relationship of a father and a child. And as a child, as a parent, we want our children to be blessed. When our children have needs, what do? We do everything we possibly can to see that they're blessed. Well, God does the same thing for us. That's why he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son to die so that we could have eternal life. That we might have life not just have life, but have it more abundantly, exceeding abundantly, beyond your ever greatest wishes. You couldn't dream bigger than that. So if he wants us to have an abundance, does he want us to have 10 cars and 5 houses and things like that? Are people with 10 cars and 5 houses happy? No. They want what we want, what we have. They want peace. They want joy. They want a fulfilled life. Your material things will never fulfill you. Let's turn to John 17:3. Jesus described what eternal life was all about. And I think this is just the greatest summary of what eternal life is all about. It's not just time. It's living life, living more abundantly. John 17:3 says, "And this is life eternal, that we might know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That we may know the one true God, not the thief. Well, we're going to know him too by knowing the word of God. We know what he does. The truth comes out. To know intimately the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. Know them both intimately. You know how intimate our relationship is with them? Now, I've been married to my husband for almost 44 years, and we know each other very well. We finish sentences for each other. We think the same things. But you know what? It's not as intimate as it is with God and Jesus Christ, because they dwell in me and they know what I'm thinking about. He's trying to figure out what I'm thinking about. I'm not even sure what I'm thinking about. So it's such an intimate relationship that, and he said in manifestations, he goes with us everywhere. He can't stay behind. He's there. He knows our very thoughts. And you know what? He just loves us no matter what we think or do. He just can't, you can't get rid of him. He chose his dwelling in us. How much more intimate is that? It's not. There's nothing more intimate. And he gave us a life that's more abundant. What an amazing father. We were rescued from the dominion of the adversary, the thief, into a relationship of a son of God. And not only as a son of God, but we're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All the privilege that Jesus Christ had, we have. We're equal with him. That's abundant, don't you think? More than abundant. I don't think we really deserve that. We have one life to live this side of eternity. Why not live it abundantly? Have you caught yourself saying, well, I'm just hanging in there, or I don't know what's going to happen, or will my life ever change? If you're saying that, then you need to think about, what are you dwelling on? Are you dwelling on the word of God that gives us our purpose? Or are you dwelling on the world? Because the world will convince you all the time that you're never going to be successful. But God keeps telling us, and he's talking to us through the Spirit, that we are his beloved child. You know how valuable you are? Well, value, if I have a beautiful watch here, and I know the value is the cost of what it was to be purchased. Well, the purchase of our lives was the Son. Jesus Christ had to give up his life. I wouldn't give up any of my children for any of you, and I'm sorry. I love you, but not that much. Oh, and he didn't ask any of us to give up our children. He did the one act of love, and all he wants is more children. And he wants those children so that he could interact with them and to know that they're blessed. And the one action that he did was gave us grace. And that's the one emphasis I want to share with you today, what grace is, because it certainly isn't something that I would have thought about. So many times, well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll get right into this, because in a tremendous principle of living the abundant life is living in the grace of God. You cannot have the abundant life without the grace of God. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace are you saved." What did God get out of us? He got us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope. All we look to is the world. And yet in all that, he wanted us. He pursued us. It says he quickened us alive. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's the most important thing about grace, is we didn't earn it. We can't work towards it. Most religions will emphasize your works, and that those works will never do anything for you but frustrate you. But God, he knows us, and he knows that there's no way we could be successful if it was in our works. So he gave us grace, that undeserved favor. You think about a gracious hostess, as someone that wants to feed you and take care of you and make sure that all of your needs are met. That's what God's life is all, that's what his desire for all of us is. And that grace is what saved us, made us alive. And it says, and seated us in the heavenlies. You know, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And when you get challenged with things, remind yourself and remind the thief, this world is not my home. You know, it's just a very quick moment that we're here. But we're going to enjoy it to the fullest, because we're not going to put up with his lies. Right? For why does he do this? For we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He wants us to walk in good works. He's given us a plan, and his plan wants us to be blessed. He wants us to succeed, and the greatest part of it is we don't succeed in our own abilities, but in the Christ in us. I was a little frustrated this morning because I kept thinking, oh, but I need to share this and I need to share that. And then God just reminded me, it's not in your works, honey. It's in what I direct you. And when we look to him and say, how do I explain this? And I was journaling the other day and I asked him, and I want to share this with you. I asked him, how do I explain grace? And he blessed me so much. He said, my child, my grace is what is sufficient, all you need in life. My grace is the power to stand in the presence of conflict and fear in opposition of the enemy and stand as a brick wall, not being afraid of what the circumstances look like, but knowing that I have your back. I love that term. I have your back, and I even Googled it this morning. And having your back means that there's someone that sees behind you what's going on, and is there to protect you and to watch over you. He's got our back. You know, we'd say our friends have our backs. God's got our back. Isn't that wonderful? I've given you the life of my son living in you and the power of his love and obedience, for his life is available to you. Let me go back again. I have given you the life of my son living in you, and the power and love and obedience of his life is available to you. We can walk in love and obedience. I did not ask of him anything that he could not do, even for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Your joy is of most importance to me. And 3 John says, there's no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. There's no greater joy of your Abba than to see his children walk in the truth. So be free, my love, to share of my love for my children and their worth and value in my eyes. My throne of grace will give them the answers they are looking for, and it's the boldness I desire, not a timidity or fear. Courageous sons of God, in the midst of a dark and perverse world, but by my grace they shine as lights in the world. My grace is the power to receive all they have given them and to enjoy the intimacy of our relationship without earning it. Otherwise, my son would have died in vain. It is all you need to live a more than abundant life, and it comes with peace, undisturbed believing. It's all yours. that wonderful? And he will give us answers to things that we need. We need a working, a loving relationship with him. So grace is enables us to stand in the presence of conflict, fear, opposition of the enemy, stand as a brick wall, not be afraid of the circumstances, knowing that our Heavenly Father has our back. In every situation, circumstance in life, God has given us grace because he's called us to be victorious. That's what the abundant life is all about. He made us more than conquerors. I like that, more than conquerors. It's always abundance. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. He's given us the victory. I think he mentioned that in the manifestations. I think a lot of what I'm sharing was in the manifestations or in people's prayers, which is pretty tremendous because we want to live this. There's a lot of people that don't know this, that I really encourage you to start thinking about, how do I share the more abundant life? Because when you hear people saying, I'm struggling, encourage them that there's a greater life, a better life. Because the world bombards us all the time. Grace and peace come as a double blessing. If you look at all the church epistles, the greetings in the church epistles, we'll look at Romans chapter 1 first. But all the greetings, each one of the epistles has a greeting. Romans chapter 1 verse 7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And every epistle says grace and peace. And in 1 Peter it says grace and peace be multiplied. Well, why grace and peace? Why peace? It's a state of confidence, undisturbed believing that is well, believing that all is well according to the word and will of God. It's a state without conflict. You know, we certainly need that today more than anything is peace. And the peace only comes from Jesus Christ. And he told us, my peace I give unto you. The very peace that he walked in. And it says in John 1:17, I think, he came with grace and peace, truth and grace. And he certainly walked in grace because part of grace is humility, having a humble mind, being submissive to God Almighty. And you know what he said? He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. I speak the words of my Father. Can you imagine that? All that he did, it says in the end of John that if all the things were written that Jesus did that the world could not contain, the volumes of what would be written. And yet he says humbly, I can in my own self do nothing. Well, that's what grace is all about. We don't have to do things of our own self. We've got God and Christ working in us so that we can be successful. Grace is what is sufficient, all that we need in our lives. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory rather in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon them. When I am weak, I am strong, because in my flesh I am weak, but it's Christ in me that makes me strong. And that's what we need to live by. When we get bombarded by the adversary, we think, okay, he's attacking the old man. He has no right to even talk to me. He's under our feet. In the name of Jesus Christ, he needs to stop. So we don't entertain those thoughts. We continue to renew our minds to the word of God. And that's a big key, is renewing our minds. We'll look at that. What sources of power do you think the thief uses to camouflage grace? You know, we find that powerful people are educators or doctors or these scientists. And what is giving them that power is their education, ego, pride, money. People think they can buy their life, buy happiness. Those are all things that take our eyes off of what God has made available to us, because that's all in works. And can you see, if you're limited, all you know is that it's by your works, your behavior, that you are a Christian, then you'll never be successful, because we are good and we're bad. We hold the word and then we forget it. But that's why we have a body of Christ to work together to encourage each other. Look at Philippians 4:13. Paul certainly knew the grace of God, because in his flesh, he was actually feared. You know, he had such zeal for the law, and yet that it was all wrong. He persecuted the church. How bad can that be? And yet, by the grace of God, he was what he was. And he threw away all those credentials and to be a son of God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The Amplified says, I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am equal and ready for anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm self-sufficient. That means I have what I need. Our self-sufficiency is in Christ. Who am I? I'm a new creation in Christ. I walk as Jesus Christ walked. I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I exercise his power of attorney so people can be free. And that's the goal. We can be free from the lies of the adversary. So what an amazing life that we can live more abundantly, that Jesus Christ lives in us. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. And I encourage you to go through the scriptures. And right now on Tuesday night, Barney's sharing the Winds of Grace. Ken Petty is a tremendous teacher. Hi, sweetie. And that kind of intimidated me this morning, because I was thinking about, well, look how he taught on his teaching on grace, and I certainly don't have that. I'm not an oracle, but you know what? I have a heart, and that's what God wants. He wants us to practically expound the scriptures so that we can all walk out on it. You know, I could tell you the Greek. I can't pronounce it, but I don't think it'll do much for you. I want to tell you that you got a Heavenly Father that loves you, and any opportunity that comes up, he's got a way out for you. He's there. He's got your back. And his grace is sufficient for all that you need. Romans 5:17 says, and if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Skip a little bit. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We have been made righteous before God. We stand before God without ever any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation. The thief comes with condemnation. That's what it's all about. That's what the law was all about. That we are not under the law, but under grace. We didn't deserve it. We were loved and given it. And it's like a gift, like Dan said. Here's a gift, but it's wonderful. But until you reach out and receive it, it's not going to do anything for you. So much more grace abounded. Well, that's verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned into death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We will always have that grace. We will always have God holding us up, protecting us, taking care of us, never being alone. Because he sees the worth and value of each one of us, and that's so important that we see our worth and value. It was costly. It was his son that provided it. God's grace is the power to receive all he has given us and enjoy the intimacy of his relationship without earning it. Otherwise, Jesus would have died in vain. Shati and I have this saying that if I don't receive healing, then my Lord died in vain. It's an insult to him. And, you know, I think about an example of how we treat God sometimes. If I was home and I was cleaning and I wanted to change a light bulb that was in the ceiling, and Bob's studying right in the room next to me, and I thought, okay, I need to change that bulb. So I'm going to go across the street to John, my neighbor, and ask him if he would come over and change that bulb for me. And then as John comes in, Bob's looking and thinking, why didn't she ask me? And you know what? We can't insult God because he loves us so much, but it is an insult to not ask him for the things that we need, because then we keep getting frustrated and in the works that we do. Does that kind of make sense? It's like we have the answer right there. We have the help right there. Receive it. Enjoy it. So that how we walk in grace. If you put on the slide Romans 12, 1 and 2, I want to go over this verse because it's interesting. This is the Message Bible, and it's very simplified, but it's got some, I like some how it explains it, but it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without ever thinking. And that's what the adversary does. He doesn't want us to think. You just kind of move into it, yeah. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants for you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Isn't that wonderful? Do not conform to this world. But it's in our thinking that we change our lives. We renew our minds, and God's grace gave us the mind of Christ. Think about that. We have the mind of Christ. We can have that humbleness, that submissive attitude that I can't do anything without my Father's help. And he's equipped us fully. Grace is the power source of our lives. We need to plug into the Creator, the Heavenly Father, the Healer, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. Just like an appliance, if you don't plug it into the circuit, you're not going to have any power. We have to plug in. We have to make that effort to call God into everything that we do. And let's turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I think Paul summarizes about this grace. And then I want to share a wonderful song with you. And we'll close from there. But Galatians 2:20. It says, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I was crucified with Christ. We were crucified. We died. We were crucified. We died. We were raised with him. And you know the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you? That's how big that power is. There's nothing. I think Sarah, Abraham's wife, the angel asked her, she says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? We need to think about that too. Is there anything too hard for him? No, because he's made it all available. Can you imagine? That's the abundant life. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. So you can be victorious, conquerors, super conquerors, not just conquerors. Super conquerors and everything. But our identity is in Christ, not in who I am. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, if everything could be righteousness, being right with God came with the law, then Christ was dead in vain. But it didn't. It came through Jesus Christ, and it came through the love that God had for us, that he would equip us to always watch our backs, always take care of us in every situation. And I encourage you to look at the scriptures on grace. Go go over each epistle and just look at the greetings. Grace and peace. Peace in our lives comes with that grace. You'll never get it anywhere else. So I want to ask the guys if they would play the special song by Mercy Me. It's called Grace Got You. And I'd like you to stand because it's not a slow song. And I think it'll get your blood moving a little bit. And I'll close with prayer afterwards. But I love you and I encourage you to see how valuable your lives are and that we can of our own selves do nothing. It's God's grace that got us here.
Have you ever met those who keep humming when the song's through? It's like they live a life to a whole different tune. And have you ever met those that keep hoping when it's hopeless? It's like they figured out what the rest haven't yet. The second you realize when you have inside, it's only just a matter of like you just got away with something. Why? Cause you just got away with something. Ever since grace got you. So when you're standing in the rain again, you might as well be dancing. Why? Cause there ain't no storm that can change how this is. So next time when you feel blue, don't let that smile leave you. Why? Cause you have
something bubbling inside of you, spilling over cause your life is full. How incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel. Uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Ha ha. Giddy over pity, pretty please. Let me see your hands in the air with you. Ask your seats, warm it up, let go. Shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
The second you realize when you have inside, it's only just a matter of since